Before I read the text to you tonight, I want you to consider these two questions. What has God done with you? Now, when I say with you, I'm not talking about how has he used you, but has he been there while you were there? Is he in your life with you? It's one thing to be on his side. It's another thing to be with him and him to be with you. The other question is, have you been used by him to further his kingdom? Or how have you been used by him to further his kingdom? So let's look at this portion of scripture tonight and stand with me while I read. I'm going to start with verse number 1, and we'll read on down through verse number 11. Let's follow along now as I read. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. When they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Amen. Now, if that doesn't simplify the thing that they were arguing about, I don't know how to simplify it. No one was ever commanded to do any physical thing that Moses commanded in the Old Testament or that God led the children of Israel into. As a Gentile, he did not command that. So there was never any argument as far as Peter was concerned. Peter said, I'm the apostle to the Jews, and I never preached that anybody should do anything except get saved by the grace of God. And so I want to preach to you tonight. I want to preach tonight, though, primarily from verse number 4 on the thought that's there. And that is that when they were come to Jerusalem, they received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And I want to preach tonight on God being with us, or we won't get nothing done. Now, it might be a little lengthy title, but it's the truth. If God ain't with us, we ain't getting nothing done. Sang a song years ago as a boy with my daddy. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I'd be drifting like a ship without a sail. Without him, where would we? What were we before we were with him? And then when we got saved, ever since, he's been with us and we've been with him. That word with carries with it accompaniment. It means to be in association with someone or joined up with them. So I want to preach on that tonight. How important is it that we are with him? You can be with a whole lot of other things, but you better be with him.
Amen.
You better be. That's what I want to preach on tonight, by the help of the Lord and by his good grace. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight for letting us again be in your house. Lord, you know we need you tonight. We need you every night. We need you every day. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Father, without you, we're nothing. You said, without me, ye can do nothing. So, Lord, help us to understand that. Lord, how we need the divine presence of the Lord with us. We know that. We need the divine presence of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. We need the divine presence of the King to come and take over and sit on the throne. And Lord, we know you already are. You're already on the throne and you're high lifted up. God, we also know that there's a throne in our heart. And Lord, when we got saved, the kingdom of God moved in our soul and moved in our lives and moved within us. That now we live in that kingdom. We live in that life. Father, I pray you'd forgive us of our shortcomings, our stinking, low-down flesh. God, you know what we need tonight more than anything. To praise you is more important than to praise any man-made thing on this earth or any man-oriented thing, God, that has done nothing except brought more heartache to men. Father, I ask you to please help us. We need your help. We are weak. Without you, we're nothing. We're weak, God. At best, we're vanity. And so I'm asking you to, Lord, do with us like you did with Peter and John when they said they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
So I pray you to help us now. God, you know all about us. There ain't nothing we can hide from you.
That's right.
And we want, Lord, to be what we ought to be, especially in these last days. God, what a terrible, perilous time we're facing as American people with things that are going on. And we know, and I do know, I believe, that we're living in the very shadow of the kingdom of the Antichrist. No doubt we're living in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. There ain't no doubt God, the Son of Man, will come in that day and in that hour. Lord, I know that there's one thing most important, that is that we're right with you when you come.
Yeah.
Help us now tonight. I pray you speak to every heart. And we'll thank you for what you say and do with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. What has God done with you? Now, it's important that we see done, because he said they declared all things that God had done with them. And done has to do with some work's been going on. When something's done, and there's been something going on. And something's going on. I'm telling you, something's going on. In this world, there's all kinds of business and things going on. There's all kinds of activities, and there people are with a whole lot of different things right now.
Yes.
And we're in great need as a church to be with him. For him to be with us. Nothing will get done apart from it. We need to understand that. Direction and all those things come when you're with God. See, if he's going somewhere and you're with him, you're going somewhere.
Right.
And I believe he is going somewhere. I don't believe he's a God that sits on a lazy boy.
No.
And I believe he's active. When this earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. He moved, and God still moves.
Amen.
God is not an inactive God. He's not lazy. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's very, very active tonight. And I believe that there's things that he's active in. He's moving in them. And if we're with him, we're going to hear something from him. How can you be with him and not hear nothing?
Right.
How can you be with him and not say anything to him ever?
Right.
So, you know, there's a special being with God, it's special. It's special. So I want to deal with that. Now this speaks with, to me, I got about three major things. If I don't get to every one of them by saying I'm in them, I want you to know this is where I'm going to be. And the first thing I wrote down is with speaks of his presence. With speaks of his presence. What God had done speaks of his power. Is he able to do things? And listen, when God does them, he does them with power. Amen. And then declaring all things that they did with him speaks of past glories. Hey, listen, if you have ever been where he's at, you have experienced glory. And you can tell about some past glory that you've had. Now, if you don't have anything that happened, you're missing out. If you've never been around something you know God did, you're missing out on what life is about. You hear me? You're missing out on what it's really about. If you've ever been with him, you have had the experience of his presence, of his power, and of past glory. Now, I like in thoughts. I like them. And I'm convinced we need to live aware of his presence. So when I began to do a study on this with, the word with itself, if I could have, there's different definitions. I don't know how to say it. I could beat you pretty good in the head with this. I'm looking right at you, Andrew. Anyway, but I mean, you know what? With this. Now, with this would mean that this is the object. This is an object. So with can mean an object, but in this case, it means a person. Y'all getting the difference? I hope you're getting the difference. I split some wood in the backyard with an axe. So the axe was the object used to do something. If God is with us, he's the object of the work that's going on. He's the object of it. Y'all understand that simple little illustration? I don't know how else to give it to you. So the things Paul and Barnabas began to tell the church, those things. And when he said this, when I was looking at this in my office the other day. With. Paul was saying, we had the presence of the Lord with us. Working, we were joined. We were accompanied by God. He was there. He was there. The last verse I read out of the book of Ezekiel this past week when I was reading, the very last verse says that the city of God in the end of time will be called the place where God is. Amen. That God is there. That's the last verse of Ezekiel in the last chapter. I believe that's what would be chapter 46, 48, 40. 48 is the last chapter. What's that last verse say?
It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there.
The Lord is there. The name of that city in that day. Say, could you say that about the church? The Lord is there. He's there. His presence. Listen, if his presence is here, then he's somewhere close by us. He said he's in the midst of his candlesticks. See, he's joined up with us. Everywhere they went in the Old Testament after they got out of Egypt, the Bible says that rock followed them. And that rock was Christ. And that means he was with them. And his promise would be that he would be with them. Right. There's some wonderful truth to this. That when the Lord said that if you honor the Father and you honor the Son, He said, we will make our abode with you. Amen. And we'll manifest ourselves to you.
Amen.
There's a manifestation of God when Jesus and the Father are in their right positions in our lives.
Right.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Have you ever known His presence? Have you ever known that whatever it was that you were doing for Him, He was with you in it?
Amen.
He had put Paul and Barnabas where they were. He had called them to do what they did. It is not enough just to know truth about Him. You better be with Him.
Amen.
You can have all the truth about the Bible that it says about who God is and have all the sovereign knowledge about God's sovereignty and still not have Him with you. I've been around folk that got some book learning, but where's God? Ain't no power. There ain't no help. There ain't no, you know, it's like blowing powder in your face. I mean, it's just dry. You say dry as soda cracker juice. That's pretty dry, ain't it? You know what I mean? Listen, if you study Paul and Barnabas, when all their journeys they went on, it doesn't say anything about God being with them while they were doing it. But when they got all done doing it and they got with the church, they said, He was with us.
Right.
Huh. I got thinking about some other verses of Scripture and where He said, with man this is impossible,
right,
but with God. Let that little whiff get a hold of you. With God, all things are possible.
Amen, sir.
And He said if you would agree to that truth and not doubt in your heart, then you could ask whatever you would and it'd be done for you. Of course you say, well, I'll ask for a Corvette Stingray then. No, God, no. Somebody who's really wanting God ain't asking for that stuff.
Right.
You're welcome. You ain't asking for that stuff. You can ask for the right stuff if you really get with Jesus. And a little trio used to sing in Alton, Kentucky with Brother Bob Gish at his church. He blessed me. That dear man of God was a good friend of mine. He was one of the first churches that took me on for support when I was in evangelism. If I'm not mistaken, gave us $25 a month. Man, that was like $250 a month back in. And he had three ladies that sang, and one of them was his wife, and she sang with two of the other ladies in church. And they used to sing a song. You may ask me why I'm singing. I can hear the joy bells ringing. I've been on a visit so inspiring. There's within my heart a feeling. I can feel the Spirit moving. And I know from sin I am retiring. I've been with Jesus. And I'm so happy. I can feel Him in my soul. With love He sought me. With blood He bought me. I've been with Jesus. And I'm whole.
Amen.
And they'd sing that. And when I'd be there, I'd say, hey, could they sing that song, I've Been With Jesus and I'm So Happy? Because I want to sit here and cry a little bit and be reminded of the times that I've known His presence. And He's been with me. I don't deserve Him to be with me. And I don't deserve to be in the presence of the King. But I'm telling you, I can go back. I told you I'm going to kind of mix this up a little bit. But when you think about what He's done, you can't help but think of past glory. When you're with Him.
Amen.
You ever been in a prayer meeting with Him? And I'm not talking about when you have one that's scheduled at the church. I'm talking about when you get alone with Him and you go out by yourself and you talk to Him and you know He's there and you know He hears you and you're blessed. That's the way Paul and Barnabas lived in their mission journey. It was what God had done with them.
Amen.
It doesn't mean, it doesn't just mean that he used them as a tool. It means that he accompanied them. That's what the word means. I looked it up. I looked up the definition of it myself. That's what it means. Accompaniment. It means to be joined up in association with. What association are you with? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm with an association with him.
Amen.
What crowd you with? I'm with that crowd that crossed the Jordan River. I'm with that crowd that crossed the Red Sea. I'm with that crowd that ate manna. I'm with that crowd that saw God do his mighty work and take us to the places of his promises. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Listen, being saved, God is in you when you get saved. Christ in you, the hope, the expectation of glory. If God is in you, that doesn't mean I have to wait till heaven. He's my hope. I expect glory all the time. I expect it. I expect it. I go to my office to study, to preach to my people, and I read my Bible and pray, and I expect to get in on some glory while I'm in there ever so often.
Yeah.
Nobody else in there but me and God.
Oh,
yeah. And him to tell me things and say, preach that, no, preach man. That, tell them that.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. I'm too much of a man. Sometimes I'm just too much man. I just don't deserve that. Well, I can't help but think about a few things. Enoch walked with God.
Amen.
Noah walked with God. And Moses said in Exodus 33, it starts right on around verse 12, goes down through verse number 16. Lord, go with us. And if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. And the Lord said, he asked the Lord this question, is it not that we are different than any other people because you're with us? Does that not what makes us different than anybody else on this earth?
Amen.
That's what Moses said. What makes God's people so peculiar? What makes them different than everybody else? God is with them.
Amen.
Amen.
I hope you're getting this. I've been in services where I knew God was with us. I've been preaching when I knew God was with me. I've been praying when I knew God was with me. God's with you. It's the expectation. It's the hope of glory. I expect glory to show up. How could there not be glory if the God of all glory is there?
Yeah. Right.
Huh? I mean, not glory, glory. I'd hate to live with a name like Gore. I'd hate to live with that name. I'd rather live with joy and glory, not gory. Amen.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Y'all just follow along with me. Think about it. Think about it. He said, with God, all things are possible. You know what it says concerning Jacob in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verse 28? God said to Jacob, you have power with God.
Right.
Woo-hoo. Wow, that'd be good to hear, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I have heard it. I got another thought I wrote down here. Moses brought the people of Israel to meet with God when he set up the tabernacle. And that's in Exodus 19, 17. Exodus chapter 19, verse 17. He literally, as a man of God, as the man that led the children of Israel, say, well, he led them through the wilderness. I'm going to tell you where he led them first. He led them to the tabernacle to be with God. It says it like that in Exodus 19. You know what the job of the preacher is then? To lead people to a place to be with God.
Amen.
I read old brother Pink not long ago, and he said any preacher that just gets in the pulpit and preaches and never takes his people anywhere that God is not a preacher.
Amen.
I thought, woo, that's a pretty strong statement. And I'd say this, if you don't experience the presence of God with God, I can't say that you have God.
Amen.
I can't say you ever have had Him. If you hadn't experienced being with Him.
Amen.
I hope you're getting this.
Yeah.
Hope you're understanding this. It's not about being with the Bible and being with prayer and being with the church. It's about being with God in them places.
Amen.
It makes the songs come alive.
Amen.
It makes the preaching come alive.
Amen.
It makes praying come alive. It makes testifying come alive. It makes witnessing come alive. It makes praising God come alive.
Amen.
Say what you want. Moses led the people to the tabernacle for one reason, it says in Exodus 19, for them to be with God.
Amen.
I want to be guilty of that.
Amen.
I want to be guilty of leading people to a place to be with God. Say, well, you're going to say, how many times are you going to say that? Until I make my point. Until you get it, amen, until you get it. So my question is, can you say honestly, can you say God is with you and you're with God? What ground do you have to say that on? Somebody asked one of the men when he first started coming to our church, and he started hearing me preach, and he came on Brother Kevin. He's kind of loud sometimes when he gets happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sits about the second, third row over here.
His wife got saved back.
His wife, yes, sir, you're right. Mm-hmm. She did. Yeah. And so, now where was I going to go?
Somebody came with Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Come here, bird. I'm trying to find that where it was going. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, somebody asked him at the church. He hadn't been coming to church very long. And somebody who knew what salvation was about asked him, well, Brother Kevin, do you know where you are right now? He was talking about where you are in your soul. You know where you are? He said, yeah, I'm at the church in Fallen Waters. He was being honest. He was being serious. And I brought that up to him one time while I was preaching. I said, now where are you at? Oh, that's a loaded question now. He said, I'll take you to a place where when God dealt with my heart, He took me to the altar, and He told me when I got down there, the cross was for you, Kevin.
Amen.
The cross was for you. He said, God saved him right there at that
Amen.
Altar. He said, for the first time in my life, I believed the cross was for me. And it was for my salvation.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, listen, when you've had religion, he was a Lutheran. And he said he wasn't even a good Lutheran. And he said, all I had was just a little bit of knowledge about something. He said, I didn't know nothing about God. And I found out I didn't know nothing about God until I started hearing you preach, preacher. And he said, I'm so glad. You know what? I'll tell you this. If anything I could say is, I took him where God was. I couldn't save him, but I could take him to the God that can save him.
Amen.
Hear me.
Yeah.
If you're with him, you can tell it.
Yeah. Amen.
And it's real.
Yeah.
It's not like reading Mother Goose rhymes.
No.
You're not little Jack Horner sitting in the corner eating a plum pie or something. I don't remember what. Stuck in his thumb, pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy, mom, something like that. You don't remember that? It's not Mother Goose rhymes. So why'd you bring that up? Because I'm letting you know the Bible ain't Mother Goose rhymes.
That's right.
Something real about something real about, well, now I'm going to go back to the past again a little bit. something real about the first time I ever stepped out of my car down at Myrtle, Mississippi. And I thought I got sick or something. My legs were kind of weak and wobbling. I said, well, what's that? I didn't know what it was. I found out later it was a power of God. I said, really? You found that out? Yeah, I wasn't sick at all. God was there, and I never experienced His presence like that. I was kind of like Jacob when he woke up that night at Bethel. He said, oh, this is none other than the house of God, and I didn't know it.
Right.
Hello?
Right. Amen.
Right.
See, when you really get woke up, why don't you quit worrying about who you are and where you are and all that and just get with Jesus?
That's it.
Why don't you quit, Silas? Why don't you quit?
Yeah.
All that stupid mess.
Yeah.
And just climb the highest tree you can climb and scream as high as you can, God, I need you.
That's right. Right.
Huh?
Right.
Quit all that fretting and stewing about a bunch of stuff that won't save you.
That's right.
Amen.
You're welcome. Anyway, huh? I mean, just come on. You need to be with Him.
Amen.
Find a place to be with God. I love you, Sal, or I wouldn't have said it. I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you. Did I scare you? Oh, he didn't jump that time. First time I was, hey, he did that time. I can still do it, I guess. Amen. I won't do that again right now. All right, but anyway. So, with God, all things are possible. Israel was taken to the tabernacle just for one purpose. That was to be with God. The testimony that's given about Joseph when he was in the prison in Genesis 39, verse 3 and Genesis 39, verse 23, they said God is with him.
Yeah.
And they said because God was with him, he made everything that he did to prosper.
Yeah.
Amen! Everything! Why? Because he was with God! And even the lost world knew that God was with that boy! Hey! Who knows God's with you? Does anybody know God's with you? Would they say God is with you?
That's it, boy.
Amen.
Loose it, loose it.
I like it. I'm getting happy.
That's good.
I like it. Job chapter 9, verse 2, the question is asked, how shall a man be just with God? How can I be justified and as though everything's in its right place when I stand in the presence of God? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God,
amen,
through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Woo! With God.
Right.
There it is again. When you join up with Him, there's peace with Him. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called abide with God.
Amen.
Well, wherein have you been called? You know what you're supposed to do where you've been called? You're supposed to abide there.
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
Well, that's a precious verse, ain't it? Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. I said 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 7:24 is where that's found. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are laborers together with God. Well, that must mean that everywhere I go with God and you go with God, we both have the same knowledge of what being with God's about. Huh?
Right.
Amen.
So back in my text, look at it again, last part, verse number 4. They declared all things that God had done with them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be running through some scriptures with you in Acts 15 here just in a minute. But before I do, I want you to go to one other place within that Psalm 62. Go to Psalm 62. Y'all got time?
Yeah.
Probably got more time than you got money, so let me take some of your time. Okay, Psalm 62. Psalm 62. One of my old memory verses. I memorized this verse because I liked it. The only reason I memorized it is because I liked it. Now it says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. So what's this got to do with your text? Well, that was my second point. So I guess you know I done preached my first one, and usually my first one's the longest. Doesn't mean that's true this time. But anyway, remember what I said? They declared the things, they testified and declared the things that God had done with them. And that means that God showed His power. He showed His power. Now I want you to know this. If I want you to know this, the reason I read that verse is because when God did things in the early church, there was power in it.
Yes, sir.
In fact, it says there was great grace,
right.
Great power,
yep.
And great fear.
Yeah.
So, and that those three things are used that were great. Acts 3 and 4 right in that area. And so what you need to understand is that the power of God is a must. It's a must.
Amen.
And power belongs to God. It's His. So if you're with Him and it belongs to Him, guess what's going to be there? I used to get in this guy's car. He was an evangelist, and said, "Pray for power, pray for power." He had it everywhere. He had, "Pray for power, pray for power." And you know, I said, "Where'd you get that thought from? Pray for power." I said, "Why do you have to pray for power if God's with you? Power's there already. You know what you need to do? You need to just pray God uses you." Well, he was with that Hiles crowd. That's why I asked him. That's one of Hiles' old phrases, pray for power, pray for power. And so I knew why it was there. I'm not trying to be facetious or ugly, but I am. But you know, pray for power. That's like pray to be filled. Well, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You ain't got to pray about it. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you'll have it.
Yeah.
Be not drunk with wine. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then he tells you what that's about. Speaking to yourselves with Willie and Waylon and the boys. Johnny Cash. My daddy used to call him Johnny Trashmouth. Anyways, you know.
Come on, preacher.
Because he had that song called A Boy Named Sue, you know, and used filthy language in it. And then sang on Billy Graham's Crusades.
Lord help.
Well, don't look at me like that.
That's right.
Speaking to yourselves in Psalm. And hymns,
right.
And spiritual songs.
Right.
Listen, that's telling me if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you ain't got time for any other kind of song.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen.
I said you're welcome. So why'd you get off on all that? Because I needed to. Because it's important that I did. And so, you know, I'll tell you what will happen is you'll become powerless. Mm-hmm. And you'll become powerless if you allow the things of this world to control you, because that is what the word filled there means. Be filled with the Spirit. You study that word, and its definition is controlled by the Spirit.
Yeah, amen.
Now, power is going to be manifested. When God's around. I want you to go back with me now to Acts 15, back to my text, and I want to read some scriptures to you about what God had done with them. Much testimony is given about the power of God in Acts 15. Now let's go and look. Let's go back there and look. God's power was found. I'm just going to say this. God's power was found in their preaching. God's power was found in their praying. And God's power was found in the fact that they persevered.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Anybody can quit. Going to take power of God, keep you going.
Amen.
You're going to have that power of God.
Amen.
And God with you. Now look at Acts chapter 15, verse number 7. Look what it says. When there had been much disputing, That means there was arguing going on at the Baptist church in Jerusalem.
Right.
And what stopped it? Testifying about God. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that God that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You ought to go back to when that happened in Acts chapter 10, and you know what you're going to find? The power of God fell on those people, and they got saved.
Amen. Got to have. Right.
God was there.
Yeah.
And when God was there, power was there.
Yes, sir.
Power comes from God. Power belongs to God. Yes, I read that to you, Psalm 62:11. And so I'm showing you, and I'm going to show you that God being there, things happened.
Right.
All right, let's go to another verse. Verse number 8, the very next verse under verse 7. That's how the math still is in my book anyways. I think that's the way it ought to be. Verse 8, And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So you want the Holy Ghost? Guess who gives the Holy Ghost? Guess who has the power to grant you the person of the Holy Ghost? See, God was active in their ministry. Look at another verse here in Acts 15, in verse number 12. It says, then all the multitude kept silence, gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders, what? Who? God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. God, the power of God was manifested to prove to them that God had come to this earth in the person of Jesus and left his power with his men. I still think God does miracles. I still believe God answers prayers and does miracles.
Amen.
I don't believe in healing lines.
Come on. Come on.
I don't have a problem with divine healing. I have a problem with divine healers.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I mean, listen, we've anointed people in our church with oil that had cancer. And they go back to the doctor and say, we must have misdiagnosed. There's nothing there. We must have misdiagnosed something. That Muslim doctor came in my room that day. I was going to say my office. It was like my office. I was there so much. But he come in the room in the hospital, and he put his hand up like this, and he did it like this. And he looked at me, and he's kind of shaking his head. First day came in there, he said, according to all the sonograms and all the things, we took pictures of your heart is dead, and hearts never come back from death. Once they're dead, they never come back again. Your heart's dead. He comes back in there about 3 days later. I think it was about 3 days later. He goes like this. He knows I'm a preacher. He knew people were praying for me because I said they was. One man said, I knew you was a Christian. You had your Bible up there on that table there in your room. He said, I want him to know it. If they'd have come in that room a couple of times, they'd have caught me on my knees beside the bed asking God to help me.
Yeah.
Here's what he said. He looked at me and he said, your heart's not dead. He said, whoever's praying, tell them to keep praying.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah.
Hey, hey. Say, listen. Well, it's always a physical miracle. Oh, no, I've had God do a lot of spiritual miracles
sure,
in my
sure.
life. I've seen him change people's hearts that were so mean and cruel and cantankerous, couldn't get along with them. I've seen him change their hearts. I've seen God save wicked, hell-bent, low-down, rebellious, stubborn, rotten, good-for-nothing sinners.
Right.
I've seen him do it. I walked up to a man one day. Down in Owington, when I passed in Owington, Kentucky, went in his house. He would lock the back door. He'd run out the back door. He'd hear my car coming, he'd run out the back door of this trailer. So I said, Sister Liz, one day, I said, lock the back door. Don't let him go out. Just lock it. She said, he'll get mad at me. I said, lock it.
And if he gets mad, you can tell him the preacher told me to lock it. So she locked it. He tried to go out the back door, and he couldn't. I met him in the hallway. I said, come in here, Tom. I want to talk to the big old guy. Why is he so scared of me? He's about 6'4". His thumb was as big around as my ankles. The dude was huge. He picked up a 318 engine out of a car one day because the cherry picker broke, and he got mad. So he just had the engine all unbolted. I already had started to pick it up with a cherry picker, and it broke, and it fell back down. He reached down in there and got his feet down in there, took the radiator out of the car and all, and had that. Reached down in there and picked up that 318 engine, set it up on the fender, held on to it, got around, picked it up, and put it on the ground to work on it. You don't want to hurt a guy like that, or try to. And I'll never forget it. I went in there. TV was on. I was trying to talk to him. He kept watching TV. I went over and shut TV off. I shut it off. He reminded me of it not long ago when I talked to him on the phone. Yeah. Remember when he said, I thought you were crazy. In my house, guy my size and a guy your size, and you go shut the television off? You just go and shut it off? Like you wasn't even scared of me. Got down and started praying for him in his house. He stood up before I left. I stuck my hand up on his shoulder and said, Tom, I'm praying God saves you. Yeah. I was crying. I looked up there at him. He was trying to hold him back. I saw him come to church one night. He sat up against the wall. He'd been there a few times, but he sat up against the wall. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to wear my Harley Davidson boots. I'm going to wear my leather. I'm going to wear my skull and crossbones on my leather jacket. I'm going to come in there with my chain on, with my big old wallet, and I'm going to come in there and see how he treats me like I come in there like that. And I preached that night, on Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you.
Amen.
And I made Calvary real. I talked about Calvary. I talked about him. Verily, he stood up, pushed his family all back in the seat, and come to the altar, a bawling and a weeping, a big old guy down there bawling and weeping at the altar. That's all the power of God changed him.
Amen.
That's all the power of God moving his life.
Yeah.
I went to see him the next day. His house and everything around it was just, he had weeds growing everywhere. He had old tires and washing machines and refrigerators and old cars and everything else sitting out in the yard. And I went there the next day, and he'd done all the refrigerators was gone. And all the old washers and dryers had been out there. And he's out there with a sickle. He didn't have no money to buy a lawnmower. He's out there with a big old sickle, and he's cutting the weeds down around his house. I said, Tom, what are you doing? He said, I figure since I got saved, people come by here, I'll look like I have a saved house.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm telling you, I can tell you things about the past. When God gave them His Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the power of God to give you the Holy Ghost of God and save you.
Amen.
And it's real.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I preached it. I preached the cross to him just like it was for him. That Jesus did it for him. How do I preach to you? Same way, don't I? It's for you.
Man.
We used to sing a song when I was a young man with my dad and me and my brother singing. Once a man whom we know as the Son of God hung upon a cruel tree. He suffered pain as no mortal man. He took my place. He did it all for me.
Yeah.
He did it all for me.
Yeah.
Each drop of blood was shed for even me. When the Savior cried, bowed his head and died. Oh, praise the Lord, he did it all.
Amen.
For me.
Amen.
I sang that song before I got saved. And I don't know, when I wrote my testimony out, I didn't talk about all those things I knew about the cross before I got saved. I didn't talk about all that. But I tell you what, when you sing a song like that, you know something about the cross. One thing I did know when I got saved, it was Jesus, the Lord, the Christ of God, who saved me. The one who died on that old cruel Roman cross.
Yeah.
Shed his blood that I might be saved. Without the shedding of blood, I could quote the scriptures before I got saved. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Well, I'll tell you, did he shed his blood? Did he? Did he? Was there power when he died on that cross? When he said it is finished, was there power in it?
Amen.
When he rose again from the grave 3 days and 3 nights later, was there power in it?
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you're with the God that I know, there's going to be power somewhere.
Amen.
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 God gave them the Holy Ghost. How much power is that? How much power is that? God's able. He's the God of power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what Jesus said. And if Jesus is with us, the one who has all power is with us.
That's right. Right.
I've had him say sometimes, all you got to do is ask me. I'll take care of it. What a novel idea. Just ask him. So I've been asking him about my soul. Yeah, I have. I've left you with him. I've left you with him. He told me what to tell you. What you do with it's your business.
That's right.
But I know if you get to him the way I'm preaching, there's power.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he will give you the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yep. He said just like God gave the Holy Ghost to us at the beginning. He did it. To them at the house of Cornelius, I was there and saw God do it.
Amen. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, go on. There's a couple more verses here. Talks about what God did, the power of God. Let's go on. Let's look. Look in verse number 14. Because this is important. I like this verse right here. I like them all. But let's see. It was in verse 12. Now we're in verse 14. I read verse 12 to you already. If I didn't, go back and read it yourself. Anyways, look, let's start in verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God did. This is power now. God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And so here's God visiting. Let me tell you something about God visiting. That means he has the power to go where he wants and to be with who he wants to be with and to do what he sees fit to do while he's there. And he said God visited the Gentiles. He visited to take out a name for himself. He changed the Gentiles to Jews. Made them a name. Made them Christians. Huh? Oh, you hear me?
Man.
So he was with us, and we're declaring the things that were done, that he had done with us. And now they're talking about the power of God, because they were with God.
Right.
God showed up, visited. I looked up that word visit there, how he visited. I looked that word up. I wrote down the definitions of that word. He visited them. I wrote it down here. I'm going to write it down. God visited them. It means to look upon or to look after. It means to inspect, examine with the eyes. Go to see and have care for. It means to go to provide for, to look out, one to choose or employ.
Yeah.
The word visit means to look for one to choose or employ.
Yeah.
And why would God visit this vine? There's a verse in the Old Testament. It says, Lord, visit this vine. I think it's in Psalm Psalm. It's in Psalms. Visit this vine. It's in 80 something, I think. Psalm 86, Psalm 85. Psalm 85 is when thou revive us again. It's the prayer is given. Turn us again, O God, and we shall be saved. It's in that chapter. In that very chapter where he says, turn us again, O Lord, and we shall be saved. He said, and Lord, visit this vine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want God to come in here with his eyes and look at you, examine you, and come here to choose you or to care for you or to examine and provide for you? That's what the word visit means. Ain't that good?
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
Is there power when God visits then? Now, I hate to say this, but in Luke 19:44, the Lord says to them in the land of Israel, you did not know the time of your visitation.
Right.
So then I'm going to have to close somehow this truth. And that's this. The Lord Jesus himself, greatest preacher that ever walked in shoe leather, preached to some people that didn't get saved, didn't believe. Didn't. Was never his fault. But did he visit them? Now when he visited them Gentiles there, that when James was talking, he visited them to call out a name, a people for his name.
Right.
That means you lose your name when he visits you.
Right.
You lose your identity in this world.
Right.
What that Brother Harry was saying about that guy the other night when Brother Billy was preaching, and said, called his name something, and he said, no, his name was this. He said, I'm sorry, preacher, I didn't remember his name. That's not what mattered. What mattered was that man that got saved said, don't call me that no more. That has to do with my old life.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Don't call me that no more.
Yeah.
That's what I used to be. I ain't that no more. I was preaching an evangelist sometime back when I was an evangelist and went to a place where some old buddies were after I got done preaching. After I got done preaching, God let me give my testimony while he was there. And they stood back in the back, the Ravert boys. They was mean. Terry Ravert, I seen him whip 5 guys one night. Like nothing, man. He just threw them around like chicken feathers. Mean. Wasn't no bigger than me. Rough as a cob. And I went back there in the back. Terry looked at me. He was bad to drink, cuss. I ran with him. I'm sorry to say it. Never should have, but I did. But he looked at me and he said, you ain't the Tim Rutherford I used to know.
Amen.
I could have broke a wall down. Said, why? Made me happy.
Sure.
He said, you were never that way before when I knew you. His brother Archie was standing back there. His other brother Tim was standing back there. Tim had been a preacher. I don't know if he still is, but he had been at one time or another. Felt like he wanted to, but Archie stood back there. And Archie said, I'm coming back to hear you again. I want to hear more about this. God visited me to change my name.
Hear me.
Woo-hoo. But thanks be to God. He didn't just visit, he took up residence.
Yeah.
You know what? You ever go to somebody's house and visit their house and they say, don't leave, stay. That's what happened.
Amen!
Amen.
Right.
Oh, well, anyway, it's real.
Right.
It's real. So the last verse I'm going to read to you is verse 18. In Acts 15, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Can I ask you, would his works not be involved with his power? He knows all his works. With God. With God. They declared all things that God had done. The work of God. They didn't say, we want to tell you what we've done in our ministry. They didn't say that. We want to tell you what God hath done. Huh? What God hath done. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done. Huh?
Yeah.
Done. Remember, listen. Remember that woman that had that issue of blood? When she reached through that crowd and touched him with his garment, you know what the Bible says about it? When she knew what was done in her.
Yeah, amen. Yes, sir.
Listen, when God does something, it's a done thing. It's done. Ain't no more doing in that arena. It's done. I like the done business. It doesn't mean I ain't doing anything, but it means God hath done something. D-O-N-E, done. What hath he done with you? What God hath done. God hath done. Who could roll the Red Sea back other than God? I'd have felt bad, you know, if Moses had been a Baptist preacher at that time, he would have had to take a vote before he could put the rod over the water, you know, make sure everybody thought it was okay. No voting that day, because it was something God was going to do. And man wasn't going to have no mouth in it.
Right.
No words in it. Stand still, he said, and see the salvation of the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Made the wind blow.
It
says the breath of his nostrils opened up the Red Sea.
How about that?
I can blow out a lot of candles with my mouth, but you wouldn't want me blowing out candles with my nostrils. I'll tell you something else. Just for the fun of it, you ought to try it sometime. See how much power comes out of your nostrils. Yeah. Let me try it here and see if I got enough. I used to say some people ain't got enough power with God. If power was dynamite, they wouldn't have enough to blow their nose.
Yeah.
We listen. Power of God. If God is with us, then ever so often, I do believe, we're going to be able to see his power. I'm done now. I've got one more thing to say, and I'm done. Well, the devil got up on my shoulders sometime back and said, ain't nobody getting saved under your preaching no more. You're messing up something. You're doing something wrong. You ain't got no power no more. I was down at Brother Shipman's old church preaching for Craig. He asked me to come down and preach. And that lady, Jan, a preacher's daughter. She'd been a preacher's daughter. Her daddy was dead. He's dead now, isn't he? I think he is. She talked to me when I was there during camp meeting last year. It was last year, wasn't it? It was last year. Like June last year, a year ago. And she talked to me a little bit about my preaching and stuff. And I guess when Brother Shipman's funeral was going on during that time, she came to you and told you she knew she was lost. Is that right? And she talked to Craig. Told him. She said, I know I'm lost. She came to the meeting that Sunday night. She said to me at the back of the church before she left, she said, Brother Tim, I know I'm lost. That Wednesday of the meeting, she came every night. And that Wednesday of the meeting, she took her mama out to eat. She said, I take her out once a week. I took her out to eat, and the Lord told me I had to tell my mama I was lost. She said, I can't do that. He said, if you don't, I won't talk to you. I'll leave you alone.
Do what you gotta do.
I'll leave you alone, and I won't save you. She said, scariest thing I ever did. Sat down there in that restaurant as we got done eating. She said, I told my mama, Mama, all the religion I've had, I've tried to find peace with God all my life. You know, Mama, I've made all kinds of professions, been baptized two or three times, I don't know how many. She said, Mama, I still ain't got it. You know I ran around with men and I drank, I went all kinds of places I shouldn't went. She said, I've never been saved. I'm lost. That was Wednesday during the day. She said something broke in her heart. Something just like exploded in her. Like a peace came over her for telling her mama. She came to church that night, and God, I mean, I'm telling you, it was as though God grabbed her by the hair of her head and brought her down that altar. She got down there, she got to bawling and squalling. And directly she come up, glowing, and she said, I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm saved. You know what? If anybody needed that, I did.
Yeah.
Because the devil had told me not very many days or weeks before that. You lost your power, boy. You ain't got no power no more. Ain't nobody. You ain't helping nobody. I think God let me be there just for that reason.
Yeah.
To help me, to give me some strength to say, God's still working and God's still moving and His truth still affects people. Maybe not by the hundreds, but one.
Amen.
Well, you don't know if she got saved or not. Well, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you this. Listen, when Paul and Barnabas came back to the church and told them, it made all of them happy when they told them people got saved.
Right.
They didn't go, we don't believe it. We'll see. They didn't say that. They said, glory to God, people got saved under the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. Woo! That's good.
Yeah.
Great joy came to them.
Yeah.
That's, I think, verse 3 of Acts 15 I read to you earlier. So, I'm done now. I told you I was going to give you that one last thing. If nothing else, God helped me to know. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with His Word. There ain't nothing wrong with His Word.
Man.
There ain't nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost.
Man.
There ain't nothing wrong with the will of God.
Right.
So, you know why I can preach to you with hope? You know why I can just keep preaching to you? Because I know that I know it still works. I know it does.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact times. I have had at times the Lord kind of stir my heart and say, I'm going to do something. I'll have to admit there's been a few times I've said God's going to do something because I wanted Him to.
Sure.
There it goes again. Repent! Okay, they got one of those big long things on there. They say they can hear through the wall, so they'll hear it. That's why they're still going. If they really wanted to, they'd probably land in a field or something. All right, y'all hearing me? Power of God, friend, still real.
Amen.
God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. All right. Well, thank you, Lord, for letting me preach tonight. I'm going to ask you, Lord, I'm going to ask you if nobody would move at all tonight, well, I'm going to ask you something, Lord, and that is, God, would this truth somehow ring in the ears of people in such a way that whether they do anything or get anything tonight, they wouldn't be able to get away from what they heard tonight? Your able, your power, Lord, your word, thank you for your work. We need you, Lord, like never before. We've needed you. We've seen your work. We need you. And we'll need you again. So Lord, my prayer just is that, Lord, you take your word, make it real to somebody's heart, speak it to their heart. And I'll thank you for it. I'll thank you for forever. I'll be eternally grateful. Asking you now, help us. In Jesus' name. Well, some praying. So if somebody's praying, Sister Audrey, go ahead and play something.
I just felt the leadership of God in that text. I was going to be, thoughtfully, I was going to be somewhere else in the Psalms possibly tonight. Before service tonight, it was just, there ain't nothing else. You need to preach that. Nothing else right now I want you to preach. I hope that something tonight would be made real to your heart. For you. Lord, help, I pray. I can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. But I, like Peter, can go somewhere and tell somebody what God would have for you to hear. I've done my best to do that this week. Done my best to do it tonight. I could have said, well, I'm going to be leaving in the morning, so I'm just going to give them a little talk tonight and get some rest and leave the rest of it with Brother Pascal and Brother Al. I don't think that would be very fair, to be honest with you. I don't think it would be right for me not to give it everything I had. I don't think it's ever wrong to give it everything you got and do the best you can. And I'd say the same thing for you if you're lost. Do the best you can. Folk are praying right now. Possibly somebody praying in their seat, I don't know about. You know, maybe if we believed God, we'd see a little more, huh? See a little bit more. We sure do need to see more. For God to do something in you, that's a done deal. Thank the Lord. He talked to anybody tonight. Thank the Lord. I'm telling you, I preach so that He will. I do. I preach with purpose. I preach on purpose. I don't do it by mistake. There's a lot of arguments laid down in this chapter I didn't deal with you about. But the greatest argument is, look what God hath done. That's what Peter testified of. That's what James testified of in our text. And that's what Paul and Silas testified of early on in the chapter. You got some testimonies there of things God did. And He's still God. He ain't never changed being God. Men change, but God doesn't. Praise, going back to the seat now. I don't gauge the time of the invitation that way, but you're going to be done with this verse now. Thank you again for letting me come by.